Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
Dodging a bullet, I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
I'm sure if you listen to our podcast, you remember what tragically happened in the late hours of August 8th, 1969. Charles Manson sent Tex Watson, Susan Atkins, Linda Kasabian, and Patricia Krenwinkel to 10050 Cielo Drive in Los Angeles, California, where they brutally murdered Sharon Tate, Jay Sebring, Wojciech Frykowski, and Abigail Folger. It was one of the most famous LA murders. It's been covered by many authors, many movies, very, very high profile. That part, you know. But I'll bet you didn't know that someone was noticeably missing from the Tate party. An invitee who, at the last minute, decided not to visit the home of Sharon Tate and Roman Polanski on that fateful day. That person was one of Hollywood's iconic leading men, Steve McQueen, who sat out on a gathering that would save his life. Terrence Steve McQueen was born on March 24, 1930, in Beech Grove, Indiana. He had an unconventional life, being raised by family members until, at age 12, he moved to LA to be with his biological mother. McQueen, in Los Angeles, was part of a gang and got caught stealing hubcaps from cars and eventually landed in reform school, the California Junior Boys Republic in Chino, California. After kind of straightening out and moving to New York City, he joined the Merchant Marines and then worked a series of odd jobs. He was a worker on an oil rig, a towel boy in a brothel, and a tank driver. McQueen was told by his then-actor girlfriend that he should try acting too. So in 1951, with the help of the GI Bill, he enrolled at the Neighborhood Playhouse, run by Sanford Meisner. 7 years later, he would be an international star, acting in such films as The Great Escape, Bullet, and The Thomas Crown Affair. Of course, heavy is the head that holds the crown of the hot leading man, Steve McQueen's sexual exploits became a legendary part of his persona, having been married 3 times and seeing countless girls on the side. McQueen had become friends with Jay Sebring, a handsome playboy himself and a stylist to the stars. Sebring and Tate had dated briefly, but now they were close friends. In fact, according to Mark Elliott in Steve McQueen, a biography, McQueen and Sebring had become such good friends that Steve let Jay restyle his blonde hair in the iconic look of the day, short, flat, and combed to one side. Sharon Tate regularly had parties at her home, and McQueen and Sebring often talked about meeting up at Tate's to hang. And it was Sebring who invited McQueen to come to Sharon Tate's home on the night of August 8, 1969. Says Elliott, quote, Sebring told him there was a little soiree planned for the next night at Sharon Tate's rented house up at Cielo Drive and that Steve should come. Steve told Sebring he'd be there. Let's take a break. So Steve McQueen had plans to go to Sharon Tate's on August 8, 1969 to hang out with his pal Jay Sebring. He also invited his Magnificent Seven co-star Robert Vaughn to the gathering, but Vaughn already had plans. McQueen himself eventually bailed on the Tate party. McQueen invited his blonde companion to be his date to Sharon Tate's party, but she was not interested. Smart woman. She told McQueen that, quote, she had a better idea for just the two of them. McQueen acquiesced and the two spent a very romantic night in. I can't even imagine what Steve McQueen felt on August 9th when the bodies of his friends were found. And to add to McQueen's trauma, 2 months after the murders, when Manson and his family were arrested, police discovered a detailed, organized list of celebrity names and the manner of death planned for them. And guess who was on it? At the top of the list was Frank Sinatra. Manson hoped to kill the singer, sickeningly, while having sex with one of the Manson girls. Elizabeth Taylor and husband Richard Burton were to be, quote, tied together and boiled alive. As for McQueen, Manson's plan with him was chillingly brief. McQueen's death would be made to, quote, look like a suicide. McQueen freaked out. Of course he did. He had all of his homes completely wired and burglar-proofed with the peak security technology of the time. He also started packing a loaded magnum, which he had with him at all times. Quote, he could not shake the dark feeling of having come so close to death, Elliot wrote. A simple decision to get laid saved his life.
What's interesting about Steve McQueen looking back is when you mentioned the blonde hair in a leading man in Hollywood is a lot less than a dark-haired guy. Like,
yeah, you know, when you think of like dark and handsome.
Right. Sure. Brad Pitt would be somebody who's like blonde and hunky movie star, but mm-hmm. you know, from back in those classic days of Hollywood, Cary yeah. Grant, Humphrey Bogart, all everyone has like really dark hair. So it's interesting to be blonde in the 50s, 60s, 70s. I mean, he died pretty young.
Yeah, he died at 50 of cancer.
I think it was lung cancer. I also wonder what it would have been like if he was there, because he's like a tough dude. Not to say mm-hmm. it would end any differently. It would be somewhat differently, even mm-hmm. by him being there and being killed,
yeah.
which I assume, but I wonder if that would change. If anyone's out there has seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I'm pretty sure it's the actor from the TV show Homeland plays Steve McQueen mm-hmm. at one of these parties, and there's like a scene with him there. Not, you know, obviously doesn't, the movie kind of reimagines that whole era. So it's just interesting to look back and think what would change if he was there, and just the fact that Steve McQueen was like this kind of interesting, like a tough guy.
Yeah.
I think it was a movie about Le Mans. Like, he was really into mm-hmm. into car racing. I'm not like an expert on Steve McQueen. I think I've seen Bullet once. I've been wanting to see it again, but I just haven't. Just interesting to, when you mentioned the changing his hair to blonde mm-hmm. is an interesting thing to even James Dean had like lighter hair, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was still like a dark, more brunette.
Totally. And I think all of that is rooted in the silent film era too, where it's, you want more contrast in somebody so they could be seen better on the celluloid. But yeah, Steve McQueen, he was like a, you know, a tough guy leading man, but also kind of spun conventions too, and was like pretty nuanced and didn't have this stereotypical upbringing, and it's always like very interesting, and I don't know that much about him either, and I was learning as I was researching this. I can't imagine you don't look back on that potential to have been at this party like every day of the rest of your life.
I think you have a crush on Steve McQueen.
Stop it.